Welcome to the deep dive. We've got quite an interesting exploration for you today.
Yeah, we're looking at a TEDx talk transcript. It's by Jack Lama called The Logic of Real String.
Right. And think of this as, you know, your fast track to understanding some really, well, novel ideas about how we learn and perceive music.
Absolutely. Our mission here is really to get to the heart of Lama's thinking. What's this about internal understanding being independent of, say, outside influences?
It kicks off with something he noticed, which I found really interesting. Musicians often see the notes, they hear the sounds, but do they really get it, comprehend it?
That's the core question, isn't it? That potential gap between just perceiving and actually understanding.
Yeah, let's unpack that a bit, his initial insight.
It starts with something like a guitar string. You see one string right here, one main tone. But Lima points out it's way more complex. The string's vibrating, creating all these frequencies, harmonics.
But our brain kind of simplifies it, sits in the middle, as he puts it.
Exactly. We get the single string, the single sound. We don't automatically grasp the, you know, the underlying structure, all the possibilities hidden there.
Okay, so starting from that observation, he proposes a pretty different way forward. This thing called limatura.
Ah, yes, limatura. It's not your standard sheet music, definitely not.
No, it's a code, symbols. But the main goal isn't just press this key now. It's more fundamental.
Right. It's about understanding what you're doing musically first, like the concept, before you worry about the instrument or reading traditional notes.
There's like a foundation layer.
Precisely. He explains it uses symbols, maybe a bit like chord charts, show notes, but crucially, they also show the register, you know, how high or low the note is.
Okay. And he has symbols for repeated notes, too, like a little bar.
Yeah, small bar for repeats. And the key thing, like you said, is it's meant to come before standard notation. Build that mental map first.
Like learning the alphabet before you try reading Shakespeare.
Kind of, yeah. Get the basic elements down internally.
Now, here's where it gets, well, quite pointed. Lima has a really strong take on learning just through what he calls external influence.
Oh, yeah. He means things like just soaking up cultural norms in music, rote learning, just copying what others do.
And he doesn't just dislike it. He calls it a malignant influence. That's a powerful phrase.
It really is. He believes it's actually quite hard to shake off once it's ingrained.
And this links directly to being original, doesn't it?
Absolutely. His argument is, if all your understanding comes from mimicking or cultural osmosis, how can you create something truly new, something genuinely yours?
So his software, using this limatura code, is meant to help bypass that or, like, switch it off temporarily.
That's the idea. Develop the mental understanding first, break free from just repeating patterns, and maybe tap into a more fundamental musical sense.
So practically, how does someone learn this way? What's the process?
He talks about knowledge and perception. The process is basically installing the fundamental elements of music in your mind first.
Okay, like loading the software before you run the program.
Exactly. Build that solid foundation. He lists the key things. Knowing all the notes on your instrument, say a 4, 5, or 6 string bass.
Understanding notation itself, intervals.
Right. Intervals, the distance between notes, chords, scales, the whole toolkit.
And he says this works for any age.
Apparently so. He gives this really striking example of a 9-year-old using the software.
Oh, the interval identification. That was something else.
Yeah, this kid was apparently just rattling off complex intervals super fast.
Like cuarta justa de la sostenido re sostenido. That's a perfect fourth from A sharp to D sharp. Or segunda menor de si do, a minor second, B to C.
And others too, right. Augmented seconds, fifths, fourths, diminished fifths, major and minor thirds and sixths. Even primera justa, the same note.
The sheer speed and accuracy for a 9-year-old, it really suggests a deep kind of processing is happening, not just memorization.
It does. It suggests maybe you can internalize these complex relationships before those malignant influences take over, as he'd say.
And he talks about a pilot group, too, where they could interact musically in real time.
Yeah, a kind of musical conversation where everyone just knew the notes, their locations, their relationships instantly.
Which is, let's face it, pretty different from the usual approach. You know, endless practice, rote learning.
Which Lima feels can lead to, well, robotic playing. Performances stuck in cultural habits rather than flowing from genuine understanding.
So how does the software help with this real-time thing, visual cues?
Exactly. He mentions arrows, color-coding notes, like, green might mean hold the note. White means it's a moving note.
He compares it to driving, right?
Yeah.
Knowing where you're going.
Yeah, like you have an internal map. These cues guide the mind, build that understanding of direction and relationship between notes. The bigger goal is identifying any sound in real time later on.
Okay, to help lock this in, he developed this special keyboard, the intelligent keyboard.
Right, not just a standard keyboard. It's designed specifically to flag up mental errors.
Mental errors? How does that work?
Well, it gives immediate feedback if you play something wrong within the context of the exercise.
Ah, okay, so if the screen says, hold a green note, but you play something else.
Exactly. Or if you make a transition that doesn't fit the musical logic being taught at that moment, it'll signal it.
He gave that Mifisol example, didn't he?
Yes. If missiles is green, hold, but you stay on Fey, you get a warning. It forces you to connect the visual conceptual instruction with the physical action and the sound.
And he argues this immediate feedback is key to fixing those little mental glitches, those flaws, across all keys.
That's his point. It helps correct misunderstandings. Like his other example, hearing an interval in C flat major and maybe thinking it involves a C flat when it's actually a B flat,
mm-hmm.
The system helps train the ear and mind together.
It's drilling down into the real logic of it.
And then what I find really cool is how he connects this internal awareness to just everyday life. Everyday sounds.
You mean like finding music in things that aren't instruments?
Yeah. He says once you have this real-time mental connection, you can engage musically with almost anything.
Like hearing a transformer hum.
And instantly knowing its pitch, yeah. Or finding musical patterns in a washing machine cycle.
Okay, that's taking it to another level. It breaks down that wall between music and sound.
It really does. He suggests it unlocks almost limitless musical possibilities because you're not tied just to instruments or existing songs. Which brings us to the real string.
Right, the core concept. Let's get into that. The real string. What is it exactly?
Fundamentally, it's a set of 13 consecutive notes. Think C, C sharp, D, D sharp, all the way up to the next C. That span of 13 notes.
Okay, just 13 notes, but the number of melodies. That was kind of mind-blowing.
Wasn't it? 3,143 melodic possibilities within just one real string of 13 notes.
Wow. So mastering those possibilities gives you a massive foundation.
That's the idea. If you really get the potential within that basic set, the rest becomes, as he puts it, a consequence. It flows from that understanding.
And instruments have multiple real strings, right? It's not just C to C.
Exactly. G to the next G is another 13-note real string. A to A is another. Depends where you start.
He mentioned 606 possibilities just within the C to C string specifically.
Yes. And then when you add intervals, melodic and harmonic and voice leading concepts like oblique and contrary motion.
That's when one voice stays put, another moves, or they move in opposite directions.
Right. That bumps it up to 75 distinct possibilities within that single C to C real string.
And then you scale it up. A guitar has, what, 32 of these strings based on its notes?
Around 32, yeah, based on about 45 notes overall. And a piano with 88 keys.
Gets you 76 real strings. The potential is huge.
It really reframes how you think about the complexity already there in the instrument. And he applies this logic beyond single melodies.
To multiple voices, like harmony.
Yeah, he gives an example of playing contrary motion on the piano, but limiting it just to the 13 notes of one real string, showing how complex textures can emerge from that basic framework.
And even rhythm. Remember something about subdivision?
Yes, quinary subdivision, dividing one beat into five equal parts.
Five, okay, that's not standard.
Not typically, no. He even mentions centenary subdivision for drums, seven per beat.
Seven, whoa. And his point is, these complex ideas come from the internal programming. Not from just hearing and copying rhythms.
Exactly. They emerge from understanding the mathematical and logical possibilities within the structure of time and rhythm itself, not just from external influence.
Like that Brazilian national anthem example.
Played in quinary subdivision. He suggests you probably wouldn't arrive at such an unusual interpretation through traditional influence-based learning. It highlights the unique results his approach might yield.
And he touches on three-voice harmony, too. Using the same 13-note framework.
Briefly, yeah. Just showing the potential to apply this core logic across different musical dimensions, melody, harmony, rhythm.
It all circles back to that core message, doesn't it?
Mm.
True musical freedom, real creativity. It comes from inside.
From developing that deep internal mental understanding, independent of just copying or absorbing external patterns.
So wrapping up our deep dive here, we've hit on Lima's Limitura Code, this idea of malignant influence. the learning process focusing on knowledge and perception first.
That real-time musical conversation, the intelligent keyboard for catching mental errors, hearing music in everyday sounds.
And of course, the huge potential packed into just one real string of 13 notes.
For me, the big takeaway, the real aha moment, is this idea that a deep grasp of fundamentals actually unlocks more creativity than just endless imitation.
Yeah, understanding the underlying logic opens up possibilities you might never stumble upon otherwise.
Definitely. And connecting back to you, the listener, wanting knowledge without overload, this offers a really different lens on musical learning. Go deep on the basics to go wide creatively.
It's a fascinating perspective.
Yeah.
So maybe a final thought to leave you with. Think about your own areas of knowledge or skill. How much is shaped by ingrained influences, by the way things are normally done?
And what might happen if you tried to approach learning something new, or even something familiar, from a more fundamental, internal, logic-first perspective? What hidden real strings might you uncover in other fields?
Yeah. What potential is waiting within the basics? Definitely something to chew on.